little bit of mix up here. Am I ahead of schedule?
All is well.
Okay. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Proverbs just as a jumping off point. This is supposed to... special day occurrences are hard for me to preach. I don't know about anybody else, but I want to talk to fathers just for a little bit, and then but it's applicable to all of us. And I want to share some thoughts about making an influence. Your parents molded you more than you think. And you find the longer you live that you do certain things that your parents do or did. And some of them are good and some of them are bad. I had the great privilege of living with my parents basically through the eighth grade. Then they asked me to move across the street and live with my grandmother because she was old. That's what they said. So I stayed with my grandmother to age 22. But I had the best of both worlds. My grandmother could fry chicken like nobody else. In an old iron skillet, it was so crisp. It was just delicious. I've never had fried chicken like my grandmother's. But then I learned how to eat okra the kid's way. My dad loved okra. I used to make him mad because my mom would cook it and bake beans, and I'd just take the whole okra thing and go, and it drove my dad crazy. But I had the best of both worlds. But influencing others, I want to share some thoughts with you, and I want to just use as a jumping off point Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 17. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. No matter where you go, you are an influence. It could be good, bad, indifferent. But you make a difference in people's lives. And somebody is always watching you. I was at a conference this week, and I remember two people in particular. One was the presenter. He says, "I've seen you somewhere before." We were at a similar conference two years ago, and he remembered my face. I don't remember him or ever even talking to him, but there's something unique about my face that you put up in the attic and scare the rats away or something. And then another person mentioned they recognized me. But no matter where you go, people remember you. That's a scary thing. Because that really says somebody's watching you all the time. Not only does the Lord see everything that you do and hear every word that you say and knows every thought that you have, but other people on this earth are watching you. Now, I don't know if that makes a difference in your life, but it's sort of scary, to be honest. So we need to be particularly understanding that wherever we are, somebody is watching you. I typically, in a meeting, like to stand off on the side somewhere and just watch people. I'm a people watcher. I just watch how people interact. Some people can tell a joke no matter where they are. I belong to a writer's group. And the host is a 49-year-old lady that I had contact with unknowingly 30 years ago. But she has a passion to help a certain organization, and she has dyed part of her hair blue. So she's the only person that I know that walks around with blue hair. But wherever she goes, people comment why, and she's able to give her story. But we influence people. And so make sure wherever you go, whatever you do, that you realize that you can be an influencer. Now there's all kinds of influencing, so I want to just share some thoughts with you about some ways to influence, because we all influence others. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 20 says, "He who walks with the wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." It's better for you to hang out with people that are wise, that are well-behaved, and have a good reputation. If you hang out with people that are troublemakers, sneaky, manipulative, you will learn how to be sneaky and manipulative. And it doesn't make any difference what your age is. I've met some older people that are very deceptive. I've met some young people that are very deceptive. I have a five-year-old grandson who is sneaky as all get out. But then he can turn around 2 minutes later and be the nicest person that ever walked around our house. We never know which young man's going to show up, but it's obvious very soon. But he came down this morning, and my wife has a closet about 7 or 8 foot long that's just filled with shelves of different activities for young people. And the first thing he grabbed was some tub that still had the saran wrap wrapped around it to seal it. He says, "Granddad, can you open that?" I said, "No, Nana, we'll wait for Nana and let her open it." He says, "But you can open it." And I said, "No, we're going to wait for Nana." And so later on, my wife came in and I said, "Maddox wanted to open this." And she says, "What?" I said, "You can't let him open that." And I said, "I didn't." But he has that ability to want to go to something that he's not supposed to be. He just has that ability. And then later on this afternoon, he'd be as good as gold. I mean, that's just, see, we influence others wherever we go. But one of the things that we need to do is help people, influence people that are meek, that are, some people just cause the meek people problems. Yet, you know, even in school, you know, the taller, bigger, meaner people always picked on the weaker, shorter people. It was just that way all through school. And if you were a troublemaker and meek down here, you usually classed, and most of us fit in between. But it even applies to churches. Some churches have people that just, lack of a better term, intentionally or unintentionally supplant the true meaning of what we're supposed to be doing. Now, I don't know there's anybody here like that, but we have to be careful, because somebody's always watching us, and somebody's always watching not only us, but our methods and what we say and how we do it and where we go and the things. Amos describes the last part of Amos chapter 2 and verse number 7 says, and pervert the way of the humble. Some people just want to tackle the humble and make them like them. I had the advantage, and I call it advantage now, I didn't think so at the time. When I taught incarcerated juveniles, I'm trying to think of the member of the gang. Anyway, juvenile detentions are controlled by gangs, I put it that way. The Bloods were always interested in finding the meat and getting them, beating them into subjection, and literally beating them into subjection. And only the hard-headed, independent, strong-willed people resisted that. And but somebody is always looking to influence weak people who appear to be weak. But when you're weak, you're strong, according to John the Baptist, because your weakness of depending on God rather than men, you appear to be weak, but actually you're very strong. And the older I get, the sweeter my prayer time comes. It's amazing what God has taught, or will teach each of us in prayer, if we will just pray rather than say our prayers. Sometimes we're just quick, you know, thank you, Lord, for the great day. Thank you for the food, you know, or good night, Lord. You've helped me along the way. But I find praying along the way is very comforting, encouraging. It helps you, gives you the fortitude and the wisdom to be able to carry on and do what you need to do for the in life and for the Lord. But we need to take time to do that. You've heard me say it a million times, I'll say it a million and one. Prayer is what makes you. Prayer is what enables you. Prayer is what makes you strong. Prayer is your fellowship with God. Let's put it this way. If you're going to spend eternity with God, wouldn't it be nice to have some fellowship before you get there? I mean, think about that. You're going to spend eternity with God. So you might as well get to know Him. Let Him know you. He already knows everything about you, but He needs to know that you're sincere and that you want to be used of Him in a strong way. Paul gives some encouraging words to the church at Corinth when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Paul's great mission was to reach others for Jesus Christ. And in doing that, sometimes you have to do, or many times you have to do what is not convenient for you, but what is best for eternity. And determining and getting that mindset is a result of spending time with God. It's amazing how God connects you with different people. At this conference that I was at, I met a teenager from Texas, and one of the sweetest people I've ever met. But she needed a little bit of encouragement, and just I said some things that her parents have been telling her, and it just was sort of the icing on the cake, so to speak, like, Mom and Dad is not as dumb as I thought they were, you know. All of you had those thoughts as teenagers that Mom and Dad are not very smart. They may not be up to date with the technology and the things of the world, but they have wisdom that only years and experience can give. And so this day, take time to honor your fathers and maybe blow them out of the water by complimenting them. They may not be able to, I'm not a great complimenter, but I think a lot, but I don't verbalize to family like I should. I know I'm guilty of that. My wife will be happy to tell you that. My kids may even tell you that. But I got this text from my oldest granddaughter, you know, Happy Father's Day, and she has told me that I've been more of a father figure to her than her real father. And that's a huge compliment to give the right direction encouragement along the way, not to undermine her father, but he hasn't been around since, well, he's never been around, really. And he's not a good influence, and so she doesn't spend a whole lot of time with him. She spends more time with his parents than she does with her own father. Matter of fact, her parents are both have cancer. Both are, her grandfather's probably going to put him in hospice this week. And the grandmother has that she wasn't given long to live several months ago. But they mean more. And so she will fly to Indiana this week and spend time with them. Carry her 7-month-old with her and just go spend time with her grandparents because they have a meaningful relationship. See, God has a way of just taking care of us and encouraging us and making you an encouragement. So we are to please all men and all things. And that's not easy to do. Because some people are just downright hard to please. But you do that it's maybe profitable for the ministry of Jesus Christ. And this is talking to the church at Corinth. This is not talking to preachers. But this is talking to the church at Corinth that because you are a positive influence, you're planting seeds and watering the seeds that they may come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They need to see a wholesome influence in their lives and in their community. We all need encouragement. I don't care who we are at times, we all need encouragement along the way. And you can be that. It can just be a kind word or an uplifting word or just to say, when you know their situation, I just want you to know that I prayed for you or I'm praying for you. And just take time to be the person that can bring another person to the throne of grace. To share what God's laid on your heart. To share, maybe change some things that you do along the way. It's not easy to change. I recognize that. And the older we get, the more set in ways we get. But we can change. We can ask God to help us change. And it's amazing how He will do that along the way. And then the third thing I want us to see is that take the time to encourage others. Everybody needs encouragement. We all go through valleys in life. Bottom line of it is, I don't believe we have the capacity to stay on the spiritual mountaintop all the time. We need to help people along the way. When situations arrive in our life that we can't take care of. We like to take care of at least I like to take care of my own situation. I am terrible about asking for help, but I'm improving. I'm improving. It's taken me a while to do that, but I'm improving in asking for help. I ask a friend of mine to give me a ride to the airport. I said, Vico, need to be at my house at 4:00 in the morning. Now, only a friend will get up and be at someone's house at 4:00 in the morning. But he was there. Let me share something. He called me early and says, I'm on my way or I'm here. And I thought, this is 20 minutes early. And I'm not quite ready, and I'm running out the door. I had my bags packed, and there's a couple little items I needed to pick up. I was supposed to take what they call a one sheet and proposal, and my wallet. I went to the airport, was going through the line at security, and the line says, you must have your boarding pass and a picture ID. I hit my back pockets, there's my phone, but no wallet. And I had a little panic attack because my friend had already left. So I went running up to the security and I said, I left my wallet home. He said, bottom line, he says, go ahead and go through the line. I got to the check-in place, and I told the lady I do not have my wallet. So she calls her boss, and he comes over and he says, I need some picture ID. And I says, I left my wallet at home. I don't have any. Then he said, and a marvelous thing, you have any medicine? I said, yes. He said, let me see it. Of course, your medicine has your name on it. He let me through security with no picture ID. I have said this story probably 10 times in the last week. Nobody, absolutely nobody, has ever heard of anybody getting through security without a picture ID. But he warned me, he says, make sure you have someone overnighted to wherever you're going to be, because basically he said O'Hara will not let you through. And so my wife mailed it overnight. I received it. So when I got to Chicago and I went to come home, I had a picture ID and I just walked right on through. But God is good. God will do the unusual for his purpose. So that he would get the credit. Nobody, like I said, nobody has ever heard of someone getting through security without a picture ID. That's, you know, you go through the metal detectors and all that, the x-ray, everything that you have. And but God has a way of just getting you where you need to be at the right time for the right purpose of opening your mouth to share the Word of God or to be an encouragement along the way. God has that ability to make that connection. It may be the one and only time. I'm not planning on going back to Chicago, okay? Nothing against Chicago, but I'm not planning on traveling like that. I have a friend from Dinwiddie who traveled by train to Chicago. She wanted to have a sleeper car, a sleeper thing, but come to find out she has problems with flying. Something about the pressure just gives her tremendous headaches and earaches, and so she rode a train to Chicago. She's riding back. This is the crazy thing. She's coming in to Staples Mill train station this afternoon, about 5:30, 6 o'clock, and her husband and daughter have already left for vacation. She's catching another train at 9 o'clock tonight and going to Florida. So she's going to spend basically 2 days on a train. I say more power to her. You know, I haven't been on a train since I was like that. But see, God has a way of just taking care of things, of encouraging it along the way. But then I want you to recognize that not only does he encourage you, but in Philippians in 2:25, and I just want to go through this verse right here. It says, yet you consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. I want you to notice the description. My brother, my fellow worker, and fellow soldier, and your messenger, and the one who ministered to my need. Somebody ministered to Paul for his needs. Actually, he was the man who transported the, we won't call it mission money, from the church at Philippi to Paul, who was in Rome, and he was the messenger. You couldn't wire it then. You couldn't send a certified check there. They had to hand carry it, and God intervened along the way to be able to make sure he got there safely with that money, so that everybody needs help somewhere along the way. Everybody needs help somewhere along the way. And then you can be the helper to some people. It could be prayer, it could be financial, it could be taking somebody to the airport. It could be anything. You can be the helper. Make yourself available to help people. God will bless you for it. God will some take the scripture and apply it to this. God is never in debt to anybody. God is never in debt to anybody. When you help somebody, God knows about it and God remembers it. And then maybe when you get in a bind, somebody will help you. And then when they get in the bind, somebody will help them. Maybe you're able to return the favor. But God will just take care of you along the way. It's absolutely amazing how He connects things. God just has the ability to do that. And then be a model to others. Just be a model to others. Be the example that God would have you to be. And not that you want to stand out in the crowd, but just you can be that quiet example over there in the corner. Or you could be that neighbor who just maybe takes a plate of food over when someone's in need or the circumstances in life are adverse. You could be, can I give you a ride to the doctor? Somebody needs help all the time, but if God lays it on your heart to influence others by being a good Samaritan, so to speak, let God use you. Let God use you. Let God be intentionally using you for good along the way. God is looking for individuals in this congregation to invite other people to church. Now think about that. God is looking for individuals in this congregation to invite others to church. You say, I can't talk to strangers. Yes, you can. I talk to strangers all the way through the airport. You know? Yesterday I sat in Chicago. I had a 4-hour layover. And so I found a comfortable... They had big old seats, sort of just wrap around you. And I just sat down next to one, and there was a guy next to me, and come to find out it was his wife, I didn't know who it was. She was laid out on the floor asleep. They had been, where were they from? They were from Huntington, West Virginia. And they had caught the plane from Charleston and flown in there. And they were laying over to go to D.C. And they had a layover there because they were going to Europe for their honeymoon. So they're in the Netherlands right now, probably asleep. But anyway, but they are there. But I want you to know that God intervenes in way things happen. And God takes care of you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 7, says, that you may become examples to all in Macedonia and Arcadia who believe. God wants you to be an example. Bottom line, God desires that you be an example for others. I told you people were watching you back here earlier. But you would be a positive example for others and not be a hindrance to others. But God wants to take care of you. What you may not realize is a scriptural application found in the book of Esther. I know I'm talking to fathers, but Mordecai, Esther's uncle, went to her when she was queen and says, you need to go to the king and plead for your people, the Jewish people. Well, the thing of it was, nobody knew that Esther, the queen, had a Jewish heritage. And Haman, who hated Mordecai, had convinced the king to kill all the Jews. And so she went to the king and said, inviting to dinner and Haman, and then they invited him again the next day. And she says, I have something I want to ask you. So the second day, the king asked, what do you want? Basically, she said, I want to stop the king's order through the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be changed. It was just the way it was. It could never change, revise that. She says, I want you to protect my family. She said, who's trying to harm your family? And she looked over to Haman and says, Haman, you're the one. And he shook. Basically, the king took him out and hung him on the gallows that he had made for Mordecai. God has a way of intervening in circumstances to protect his people, to enable his people to do the work of God. All it takes is individuals say, I'm willing to be used of God. You can be a great influencer for God. I don't care what you think about your past, or what you did in your past, or what your station in life is. There's somebody that God can use you to influence. And God wants to use you to influence others for Jesus Christ. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. All of us at that time were that way. It's only through God's intervention that you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And God, somebody was used of God to get you to the house of God to hear the word.